This is radio station KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
You thought I was worth saving. You came and changed my life.
You thought I was worth keeping, yeah. But you cleaned me up inside.
You thought I was too dark for. You sacrificed your life
so I could be free. So I can be whole, so I can tell everyone I know. Hallelujah. Glory to the God that saved my life.
I will praise you
forever.
I worship you
forever.
I give you glory
forever.
So I can be free.
So I can be free. So I can be whole. So I can tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving. You came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. You came.
You cleaned me up inside.
You thought I was to die for. Sacrifice my life so I can be free. So I can be whole. So I can.
Hallelujah.
so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know.
You thought I was worth saving. Bless our male chorus. As we stand all over this place, if you have your Bibles, we want to call your attention this morning to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Amen. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Verse 29. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. On this Men's Day, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to speak from this subject, Am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper? Thank you, ushers. Our sermon title this morning is taken from a very familiar story found in the 4th chapter of Genesis. So glad to see Jonathan here this morning. Amen. Bless you, Jonathan. In the book of Genesis, there is this story, and most of us know it and know it well. Adam lay with his wife Eve. She conceives and gives birth to her first son, Cain. Later, she conceives again and gives birth to her second son, Abel. Now, the Bible says that Cain was a farmer and Abel was a shepherd. Cain and Abel gave offerings to the Lord. Abel's offering, you Bible readers will remember, was looked upon with favor. But God rejected Cain's offering. Cain was upset and angry. The Bible says that one day Cain invited Abel out to the field, and it was there that he committed the world's first murder. He killed his very own brother. Brothers killing brothers. Truly, there is nothing new under the sun. The Lord asked Cain, Where is your brother Abel?
Cain flippantly replied, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" In this story, not only do we find the genesis or beginning of all creation, but also we find the beginning of division, strife, and separation between brothers, a phenomenon that still exists today. This seed of division and strife continues to move down through the generations, from Cain and Abel, to Jacob and Esau, to Joseph and his brothers, to Absalom and Ammon, to Bebe and Pukki, the Bloods and the Crips, and the list goes on and on. Because of this seed planted thousands of years ago, the relationship between brothers, biological and spiritual, has been perverted. Many men have either heard or asked the same question that Cain asked, "Am I my brother's keeper?" This division and separation of brothers would become so ingrained into the fabric of the Israelite community that by the time Jesus arrived on the scene, it had permeated the very religious community that God had called and commissioned to bring about reconciliation. If the purposes of God were going to be accomplished, there had to be a redefining of the idea of brotherhood. Somebody had to answer Cain's question, "Am I my brother's keeper?" So at the beginning of our text, we find Jesus bringing closure to Cain's question. In the 10th chapter of Luke, Jesus is teaching among his disciples and members of the community. In verse 25, the Bible says that an expert in Old Testament law stood up to test Jesus. He asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" But Jesus, who was not deceived by the motive behind the question, responded in essence by saying, "You're the expert. You tell me." The man quoted scripture. He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Then, really trying to be slick, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus, being the master teacher, takes this opportunity to present a case study through which hearers could decide for themselves the answer to that question. He begins by telling them a story that helps to demonstrate the true meaning of brothers dwelling in unity. Y'all, Jesus said a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was traveling a distance that spans about 17 miles and consisted of a 3,400-foot drop. Archaeologists tell us that the road he traveled was rocky and desolate. It was on this road that the man fell among thieves. Tell your neighbor he fell among thieves. A victim of gang violence, if you will, a victim of a carjacking or horse jacking or some kind of jacking, if you will. These robbers stripped him of his clothes. They beat him. They went away, leaving him, the Bible says, half dead. This parable has become for many men a lived reality. How many nameless, countless men have this story as their testimony? How many men are traveling or have traveled that lonely, desolate, rocky road because nobody caught the learning disability in time? Maybe it's rocky because he's never known anything but jail. Maybe it's rocky because his memories of being molested or abused as a child became too much for him to bear alone. Maybe it's rocky because he never knew his father and was forced to search for manhood and found it in all the wrong places. My brothers and sisters, whenever one falls upon the rocky road, there is the potential to fall among thieves, robbers, thugs, and all kinds of folk. most black men now do not fall among thieves like the ones on this Jericho road, but they run into thieves just the same. Thieves called racism, thieves called classism, thieves called unemployment, anger, violence, rejection, or thieves called suicide, homicide, and genocide. Thieves called racial profiling and prejudice. Sometimes the thieves have on uniforms and stand behind a badge. Jesus goes on to say a priest happened to be traveling the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. As if to say, I may be religious, but if it means getting involved in black-on-black crime, I'm not my brother's keeper. But the Bible says that then a Levite came, and he too passed by on the other side. As if to say, I may be an intellectual in my community, but if it means dealing with someone like this, I'm not my brother's keeper. The very ones who had been called, the ones who had been chosen and set apart by God to serve, were the ones who went about their religious duty day after day, week after week, year after year, attending conference after conference, revival after revival, never stopping to consider that a law or a gospel devoid of social responsibility that causes one to ignore the needs of others is nothing more than a crackerjack religion. Ask your neighbor, do you have a crackerjack religion? Now, some of y'all are looking at me and you're asking the question, Pastor, what is a crackerjack religion? And I don't know if they still make crackerjacks. I know when I was growing up, we used to go to Hunt's Grocery right across the track there, and I wanted to get crackerjacks. And can I tell you, I wasn't so much a fan of the popcorn, the caramel-coated popcorn. I still don't like popcorn, but I wanted the Cracker Jacks because there was a prize in the box. And so when I say some of us have Cracker Jack religion, I'm saying that the only time we want to preach, the only time we want to teach, the only time we'll say amen, the only time we'll get our praise on is when there's a prize in it. Some folk won't praise God unless they know there's a blessing attached to it. But I wish I could get two or three folk in this house who will testify that I didn't come to get a blessing. I came to be a blessing. I came to give God my praise and my worship. I don't want a crackerjack religion. Amen, 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 amen. The need of our brothers and sisters, y'all, is the real prize. Amen. That's why our mission statement here at Pleasant Hill is that we are real people striving to serve a real God by ministering to the needs of a real world. And until we start seeing helping folk as the prize, we're going to miss the mark. Is there anybody determined to see Jesus one day? The Levites don't want to be bothered with you. God still has somebody who will say, I am my brother's keeper. Along came a Samaritan. The Bible says that when the Samaritan saw the man lying by the side of the road, he had compassion. That's my first point. If we're going to be our brother's keeper the way God intended, we've got to have compassion. The difference between the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan was that the Samaritan had compassion. Trayvon Martin would still be alive today if Mr. Night Watchman George Zimmerman had had compassion. George Floyd would be alive today if that police officer who had his knee on the brother's neck would have had some compassion. If those other police officers who were kneeling there had a little compassion, they would have said to that guy that had his knee on the brother's neck, you got to come up off my brother's neck. We've got to have compassion. Do I have any witnesses today? However, it's difficult to have compassion on someone if you don't recognize that despite the color of their skin, they're still your brother. You may be white, but you're still my brother. You may be Hispanic or Asian, but you're still my brother. The Samaritan had compassion. All three of them, y'all, saw the man. All three of them recognized the gravity of his condition, but only one understood what it meant to be his brother's keeper. That was the one who had compassion. Having compassion means allowing oneself to be affected with the same feelings as the one who is experiencing the situation or condition. Y'all, all I'm trying to tell you is that every now and then you got to put yourself in somebody else's shoes. Thank God you got a nice house. Thank God you got a nice car. Thank God you got a cupboard full of food. But until you put yourself in somebody else's position, you will not have compassion on them. If we're going to be our brother's keeper in our churches, communities, and families, we must have compassion for others. We unlock compassion when we learn to say, what would Jesus do? I often wondered why it is that the Samaritan was able to have compassion and the others were not. I suggest to you that the reason is that the Samaritan understood what it means to be treated badly. The Samaritan was used to and accustomed to being discriminated against. Amen, amen. That the Samaritan was able to recognize the condition of this man beaten and stripped and left half dead. As a Samaritan, he knew what it was like to be looked down upon and ignored. He knew what it felt like to have people pass over you, amen, like you're not there. He knew what it was like to get on an elevator with someone and have them hold their purse a little tighter. He knew what it meant to need help and not be able to get a hearing to articulate it to anyone. God, my brothers, is looking for men after God's own heart. Men who, when they see their brother drug addicted, who when they see their brother drunk or standing on the corner or begging for change or profiled because they got on a hoodie and their pants are sagging, are struggling to make it, God is looking for men who will not cross over to the other side or act afraid to help, but rather who will have compassion. I wonder if we have any brothers like that in the house this morning who will have compassion on others. God is looking for believers who will look beyond their brother's faults and see their needs. I said God is looking for men who are willing to look beyond their brother's faults and see their needs. I don't know why you can't do it. He looked beyond my faults. He saw my need. Is there anybody in the house who can say that God looked beyond your fault and saw your need? You better learn how to show mercy. Amen. God is looking for believers who will look beyond folks' faults. God needs men with vision who are not too busy, who are not too holy, who are not too saved, who are not too educated and not too affluent that they can't, amen, no longer be affected by another brother's condition. It's because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. If we're gonna be our brother's keeper, number one, we've got to have compassion. But not only must we have compassion, but second, we've got to get involved. Tell your neighbor, get involved, get involved. The Bible says that after the Samaritan looked upon the man with compassion, he went to him, bandaged his wounds, poured on oil, set the man upon his donkey, and took him to an inn. In other words, my brothers and sisters, the Samaritan's compassion moved him to action. It was not enough to recognize the pain and injustice of this man's situation. It was not enough for him to feel that something should be done. He got involved in the man's situation. If we're going to see changes in the lives of men and boys today, we've got to get involved. We must be willing to extend ourselves and move beyond doing only what is necessary. Getting involved means risking being inconvenienced. It means moving beyond what is comfortable. It means doing more than just enough. It means sacrificing your time or your day off or your pleasure. Getting involved means asking the tough questions and sticking around for the tough answers. If we're going to be our brother's keeper, we must be willing to get involved in their situations. The Samaritan knew that if he was going to help the man, he was going to have to give up something. Amen. I thank God on the other day, I've been doing a little cleaning out in my house, and I had a housekeeper about 10 years ago, and she got tired of all of my shirts, so she bagged them up. She put all those shirts. I had 7 bags of nothing but shirts, and I've had them hanging out in my house, and some said to me, "You ain't even looked in those bags in 10 years. Now, I was going to throw them away. But my secretary said, "Don't do that. There are folk who could use those shirts. There are folk, amen, who needed to go on a job interview. And they would, amen, it would be such a blessing if they had a nice, clean shirt." And, Brother Tracy, I took all those bags. I loaded them in my truck and went down to Helping Hands and dropped them off. And those ladies, 3 old ladies, were in there working. They were so happy that they said, "Those shirts are hard to get." She said, "Oh, that size shirt is hard to get." But we thank you. Amen. Come on. If we're going to help somebody, we've got to get involved. We've got to go beyond what is comfortable. We've got to do what is not just convenient. Amen. But then lastly, if we're going to be our brother's keeper, we must be willing to make provisions for their future. The Bible says in verse 35 that not only did the Samaritan bind up the man's wounds, but also he provided the man with a place to stay while he recovered. And the Samaritan paid for it. Amen. Amen. He ensured that the man would have a future. He did everything he could to make sure the man would be able to live and at some point make it on his own. I heard somebody say it's one thing, it's good, amen, to give somebody fish. But it's a lot more beneficial to them if you teach them how to fish. Amen, because if you give them a fish, you feed them for a day. But if you teach them how to fish, you can feed them for a lifetime. We've got to be concerned about our young boys. We've got to be concerned about them having a future. Do y'all understand that there are forces at work in this nation that don't want to teach our history? They don't want to be reminded of what we had to go through to get where we are today. And somebody, brothers, we got to stand up and make sure that if they ain't teaching it in the schoolhouse, we can teach it at our house. Do I have a witness today? We've got to be concerned about their future. Every time we say to a brother, "You can make it," we're providing for his future. Every time we show real concern for a brother, we're providing for his future. We're planting seeds of faith through which God, in his own time, will bring the increase. We must provide for the future of our brothers. Jesus, in one act of sacrifice, provided the supreme example of what it means to be your brother's keeper. Jesus was faced with the reality of sin and the reality of our death as a consequence of our sin. He asked, like Cain, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And y'all, the enemy